Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm going to read from my faithful, trusty 1984 NIV. New International Version. I do believe it'll be on the screen as well. Normally we have notes, but we'll have to talk to Xerox later on since our machine broke again. 2 Samuel 6, go to verse 6. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Come on, somebody say, whoa. Then David was angry because of the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. Perez means breakout, a breakout of Uzzah. That's what it means. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Why is that? Because he didn't want to get killed. That's why. There's a problem. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. You know, he was excited about it. Verse 11. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now, King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom. I'm going to continue on verse 12. And everything that he has because of the ark of God. So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, watched from the window, and when she saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Verse 19, he gave a loaf of bread and a cake of dates and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of the Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. And when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But these slave girls you speak of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. I pray that you'd move with ever-increasing power as I preach. Lord, as we prepare for baptisms at the end of the service and as we prepare for what's up and coming in the days ahead, I thank you for this prophetic word that you've given me for the valley, for the Alaska, and for all those who would agree. So come and have your way tonight. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. No notes from Xerox, but I pray that you would take notes yourself. How many of you have a notebook or pen, Bible, a device? All right, it's a good idea because you'll be able to recall more readily that which is spoken to you by doing so. And if you miss a point, like this morning's message was a gusher. It just was so full of content that you really have to go back and listen to it again. Go back and listen again. Any message worth its salt is worth preaching more than once and worth more than listening more than once. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to it and take notes and just chew on it, meditate on it. It'll change your life. This is a powerful word that I'm entitling When the Ark Comes Back to the City. The ark is a visible object lesson of the presence of God, the presence of the Lord. The Shekinah glory dwelled between the cherubim, specifically designed. I won't get into all of the acacia wood and the hammered gold and the measurements of it, but it's very, very detailed, very specific, and unique. And it is a replica of the one that's in heaven. How many of you know the earthly tabernacle, the temple, was made as replicas of that which is made without hands, the one that's in heaven? How many of you know that? And so the ark is a picture of the ark that's in heaven. And they have no idea where it is, but it's an incredible piece of furniture. It held the second set of the Ten Commandments because the first set got smashed. It held the rod of Aaron that had budded, and at various times, various things. At the reading of our text in 2 Samuel here, chapter 6, it held the golden emrons from the Philistines, or tumors, or hemorrhoids is actually what it is. God afflicted the Philistines with hemorrhoids. Let me give you just a brief, try to capture God, God was kind to just give them hemorrhoids. A brief history of the ark. In 1 Samuel 4, the ark is at Shiloh. In 1 Samuel 4 and 5, it's captured by the Philistines, and it's really a horrible thing. But Israel felt like if they just had brought the ark into battle, they would win. Because anytime God was with them in battle, they won. There's no war that they ever lost when God was with them. But when God wasn't with them, they lost plenty. And so they endeavored to manipulate God by bringing the ark into war, and he was not with them. They were defeated, and the ark of God was captured by the Philistines. They brought it into the temple of Dagon, their God, and Dagon fell over. I think he first breaks. You can go look. It's 1 Samuel 4 and 5. Dagon falls over, breaks his hands. They put him back up. They prop him back up. He falls over, and his head comes off. I mean, I would have a problem serving a God whose head and hands fall off. He's bowing down and worshiping at the ark. They return the ark to Israel, and they make a new cart for it, very thoughtful and honoring. 70 men of Beth Shemel, they send it over the hill. It's this powerful picture. And it comes to Beth Shemel, and 70 men are killed because they looked into it. They're struck dead. So the ark is taken to Abinadab's house. And the shocking thing to me, and I've mentioned it over the years, is that the ark, the most precious possession, not that God's a possession, but the ark, very key in worship, very key for what the priests would do. Going to the Holy of Holies. The ark is in Abinadab's house for 20 stinking years. Now, how is it that the ark of God, the very centerpiece of worship, the Shekinah presence of God, is kept in Abinadab's house for 20 years? Because Saul was the king. And Saul had no thought that we know of bringing the ark back to the city. And then David, which we read, first thing he does, the first thing he does when he's coronated is like, let's get the ark. Ooh, let's get the ark. Let's go get the ark. It's at Abinadab's house. So they go and they get the ark. Ignorant, well-meaning, they tried the way of the Philistine, which is a new cart. The ark is not supposed to be carried on a cart. It's supposed to be carried on the shoulders of men. The Philistines, God had mercy on them, but these Israelites didn't know their word, didn't know how to worship properly. Things were messed up. And so the tabernacle has no ark. David goes to get the ark. The tabernacle is continuing to have worship services without the power, without the presence, without the ark. And so David is now coronated, and he goes to Abinadab's house, and he's like, we're bringing the ark to the city. So they go and they get it, but in the process, not carrying it right, Uzzah reaches out and is struck. We are in this place and have been for quite a while in America and I think around the world. What place? What I have called, if some of you have been here and remember, I call it the tension of the two tabernacles. You have the restoration of the house of David taking place. You have worship and power and presence and anointing. And I do believe that we're part of that here at Kings. Oh, I don't claim to have laid hold of it all. But forgetting that which lies behind, I press on to the high calling of God. Presence, the presence of God is a big deal to us. Very big. Worship is a big deal. His presence is a big deal. And is sacred. The anointing, the presence of God, the power of God is sacred. I don't believe that we're having dead religion here. And you know that by the fruit. You know them by their fruit. So you see children getting saved. I bet Children's Church this morning was off the chain, amazing, powerful. A week or two ago, I don't remember exactly, but the power of God hit the Children's Church and they were weeping and they were crying and worship went on. That's happening in the kids' church. In the youth, the King's youth, same thing is happening. God's power is being poured out. Same thing is happening here. People getting saved, people getting healed, people getting delivered, marriages being put back together, people coming to Christ, forsaking their drugs, getting healed, getting delivered. The kingdom of God is at hand. Say that. The kingdom of God is at hand. And while we might be at what I would say a Nazareth level, I do believe the greater things are just ahead as he's bringing us from glory to glory. But at the same time, I'm in places around town, perhaps. I'm not here to point the finger and be the judge of what's a new tabernacle and the old one, but understand in the context of this scripture, they were still worshiping God in the old prescribed way without the ark. And there are places that don't worship and allow his presence to come, don't preach convicting words that cause people to be offended. And there's a lax attitude about God, his presence, and just going through the motions. You can wander out of the way of understanding, says the Proverbs, and rest in the congregation of the dead. There is a congregation of the dead. If you are in the part of the congregation of the dead, I would highly advise you wake up. It is not business as usual. And some lessons here, these learned by God's, the ark of God. When it was taken captive, they attempted, as I said just a moment ago, they attempted to manipulate God. You cannot manipulate God. In fact, when you stand before him on the great and awesome day that you stand before him, you will not be able to use excuses. You won't be able to manipulate him. You won't be able to give any charge to why you didn't fulfill the plan of God or why you didn't serve him. And we'll all be held to account. It's the judgment day. And there's a judgment for the believer and there's a judgment for the unbeliever. The judgment for the believer, it's not a judgment under condemnation, but it's an evaluation. Everybody say judgment is an evaluation. It's an evaluation of the blood of Jesus is over you. then when he looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees the blood of Jesus, but yet we'll still be evaluated on what we did with our time, what we did with our talent, what we did with our treasure. And many of you know, as Dr. Morocco has mentioned, I've preached to you over the years, you don't want to hear, well, what happened? You want to hear what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And in a dream slash vision, because he cannot remember which it was, Dr. Morocco said he's before the throne, his life is over, and the Lord said, son, what happened? And he said, I couldn't do it. I didn't have the money. I didn't have the people. I didn't have the ability to do it. And the Lord says, oh, son, didn't you know I'd help you if you only tried? Wow. So the ark here is used by Israel, Hophni and Phinehas, and Eli, the high priest. Eli, the high priest, he knows his sons are wicked. He corrects them, but he doesn't enforce it. Let me just tell you this. You can know your kids need correction, but if you don't enforce it, then you're actually going to be a party to their sin. You're endorsing it. So you teach your kids to honor. You teach them to respect. Very important. So Eli understood that they were ripping off the offering, but he never did anything about it. And so God is not with Israel at that time. So when they take the ark into battle, God's not with them. And if you go and you look at it, here's what's amazing. Israel shouts. It's the shout of the king. The shout of the king is a shout that would come forth from the armies of the army of Israel when God was with them. And their shout was an ear-splitting shout because they thought God was with them. But because of their sin, because they had broken covenant, because things were not right between them and God, the Lord didn't go with them. And even there's a shout that sounds like it's the shout of God, but it's the shout of your flesh. And so they go off into battle and they lose. And that's where that prophetic word comes to pass. Hophni and Phinehas are both killed. Eli falls over and breaks his neck. And one of Eli's sons, his grandson, is born, and they name him Ichabod. For the glory of the Lord is departed. It's a very sad piece of scripture. The presence of God can never be manipulated. And it's this incredible picture, really, of religion or personal relationship and power and presence that comes forth from that. Religion will never, ever satisfy you. It will never give you what you're looking for. You can go to church until you look like a pew. You're still not going to walk into a power encounter with God by not giving him your heart. If you hold your heart back, if you play religious games, you will not have the blessing of God in your life. You can't fool him. You might be able to fool someone else. You might be able to fool your pastor, but the blessing of God won't be on you long term, and you won't have peace, and you won't have joy, and you won't. It sure is quiet in here. You need God's presence. You need God's power. There was no desire for the ark until David became king. Why? Because Saul had issues. He needed healing. He needed counseling. He needed deliverance. I mean, my gosh, at the end of his life, he's consulting the dead, consulting the witch of Endor. Crazy. Come on, somebody say yikes. And so as David comes king, he goes to get the ark. But understand that a whole time for 20 plus years, no ark, no presence, no power, still going through the motions. We worship you. Hallelujah. We let every nation and tongue. For us nations, come everyone, we worship. Some of you might have just been mouthing the words. Now, your heart's not engaged. You might as well be watching Netflix. It's also a picture of glorifying the past and not abiding in his presence. Now, you know, thank God for Azusa Street. Azusa Street revival brought more people to the modern day outpouring of the Spirit than really any other revival. started in a livery stable by a one-eyed black man called William Seymour. I'm telling you, God has it. You're called Seymour and you have one eye. And then black people were not even allowed. Listen, black people were not allowed to go into the Bible classes. He had this, Charles Parham's class, he could sit outside and listen, and he did. And he would stick his head in a chicken crate and pray until God's power fell. Azusa Street is a modern day outpouring of the Pentecostal outpouring. Thank God for Azusa Street. Thank God for the Hebrides. Well, you hear about the Hebrides where God poured out his spirit? They couldn't even lift the pint of beer off of the bar. People came under conviction. Praise God for the Hebrides. Praise God for the outpouring. Praise God for the John Cartwrights. Praise God for the Charles Finneys. Praise God for all that's happening. What about today? What about today? And what they were doing is like, well, we sent the ark into the battle before, and there was a shout, and the Lord broke out. Remember Joshua? Oh, yeah. Remember all the things that took place? Oh, yeah. Remember the hailstones and the hornets? And hey, he's just going to give those Philistines a whooping. He's going to bust open a can of whooping. Ark is in Abinadab's house. It got captured because they were trying to move in power without personal relationship. And this text where Uzzah, he's the son of Abinadab. Does anybody have something in their house you've had for like a long, long time? I mean like a long, long time. I'm reminded in my home, we have it's a crystal decanter. Now, I don't drink wine, but that's what it is. It's made of this incredible glass. It's a ruby in color, and it's cut beautifully, and it sits up way high. I grew up with that in my house. So my earliest memories have this red, ruby red crystal glass decanter, and it was always up somewhere. They never used it, but I remember it being there. It's in my house right now. And it probably has some dust on it. I don't know if we've gone to the spring cleaning of the stuff that's up high, but we're working on it. Come on, hallelujah for spring and winter's over. Come on, somebody say amen. The ark, can you think of something that you grew up with in your house for 20 years that you kind of forgot about? That's what the ark was like. It was just... I mean, I think they were drinking French roast and coffee off of it. I think there was just taught such disrespect. I mean, you hear of no miracle. Nothing happens in Abinadab's house. I think maybe the kids learned to play on it. Maybe they had house on top of it. It doesn't say, but what he does is this irreverent act. Familiarity with God's presence causes death. Let me say it again. Familiarity with God's presence will kill you. And your babies too. You know, we have some rules here. The children are not allowed to run up on the stage and grab a mic. And you know, it's harder here because you'd get caught before you get up here. We have rules. Sometimes we have kids' night, turn it over and just blow up the sanctuary with balls everywhere and lots of fun and celebration, and that's good. But generally speaking, you know, you can't play football in here. Why not? Because it's the sanctuary. I don't even like calling it an auditorium. You won't see auditorium on the outside of those doors. Some of you didn't notice, but if you go outside and when you leave tonight and you walk out, turn back, you will see the stenciling of letters above, and it says sanctuary. Why does it say sanctuary and not auditorium? Now listen, I'm not knocking any church that says they have an auditorium, but that's not what this is to me. This is a sacred desk. This is the word of God. I am preaching to you under an unction of the power and the presence of God. People get healed here. People get saved here. This is a sanctuary. It's not an auditorium where we have concerts. The worship team was truly worshiping. I looked up there and I saw God's presence over every single singer, over all the musicians. They were worshiping God, and I was so blessed. That was not a performance. And even though there's professional level musicians, even vocalists perhaps, we are not here as professionals to perform for you or for God. We're here to love him and worship him. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands and worship him right now. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you for your presence. Oh, thank you for your power. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And if you just get familiar, you know, one of the problems with going to a church like this one, you know what it is? You get used to it. You get used to the power of God. You get used to powerful preaching coming from guests and staff. You get used to powerful worship, used to altar calls, and you can get dull. You can get familiar. Don't ever get familiar with the presence of God. Don't ever get familiar. Always be thankful. Always be grateful. All you got to do is just go travel a little bit. Just go travel, and when you travel, go to church, and you'll see how dry many places are. You'll see how spiritually bankrupt they are, going through the motions like they were at the day of Saul and Shiloh with no ark, no power. And that's where we're at, the tension of the two tabernacles. But I'm telling you, God's bringing the ark back to the city. Can you say amen? I prophesy to you outpourings of the Spirit in churches across Alaska and all across America for those who are engaged, for those who will press in. And if you've gotten in your heart ho-hum and bored, oh, I'm just bored. I said, but it's just church. There's something wrong with you. As I was saying about children, you can't just let your kids run rampant. Don't do that. Don't let your kids stick gum under the seat. Teach them the fear of the Lord. I've had altar calls where people get up and walk out. I'm going to tell you something. The time for people getting saved, that is not the time to get up and walk out. Have honor and respect for the word. When the word's being preached, it's not time to text. It's time to, like, come on, we only read a few sections of the word, a few verses. It's time to honor God's word. Teach your kids that. Teach your kids. I remember being in church and some kids were messing around and the mama just went, and they were like, ugh. Obviously, they're taught, like, don't mess around. Mom just looked at you. Daggers coming forth from their eyes. The lack of fear, lack of reverence. And so Uzzah, he just saw it as a piece of furniture. So the ox stumbled, and so the ark is going to fall over. And so I better settle that. After all, it's been in my house. I mean, he reaches out, but the mercy of God, I think, is over now that the ark is returning to the city. He reaches out, and literally power comes out from the ark. And if you study this, it splits him wide open. I mean, there he is. He's dead. He tried it. It was a good effort. I mean, it was nice. It's a nice thought, but it was totally breaking the rules, and it was irreverent. And there he is, Uncle Uzzah, with smoking entrails. Can you imagine everybody? David's like, oh, that smells terrible. Oh, God. And he just looks out and says, what do I do? I want the ark to come to me, but I don't want to get killed. I don't want anybody else to get killed. Obed-Edom, where are you at? He goes and he finds Obed-Edom. What? Yes, king. I mean, you can't say no to the king. I mean, I don't think he was too excited about it. I've preached from this text before. But in preaching before, I'm remembering it now. You imagine Obed-Edom, and maybe he has four or five kids, his wife. I just have a feeling before they brought the ark, he said, family meeting, family meeting, family meeting. Let's get everybody together. You huddle up the family. Listen, I know you guys are not accustomed to listening to me all the time, but I'm going to show your cousin. You know, your cousin, we had a problem today. I'd like to show you, and I want to teach you something before our house radically changes. So let's all take a walk. And they head out to the place of Perez Uzzah, and smoke is still rising from his entrails. And they're like, okay, the king said that right there, the ark, the box, God is coming to our house. Don't touch the box.
Okay, Dad, I'm going to touch the ark. I'm not going to touch it. You're going to touch it? No, I'm not going to touch it. His wife's like, oh, my gosh.
I mean, that was a heavy moment for his family. I mean, come on, just imagine it a little bit. And they bring the ark. They bring the ark to Obed-Edom's house. And it says for 3 months, not 6 months, 3 months. And God blesses Obed-Edom. It's a picture that when you invite Jesus into your house, when you invite him into your heart, I should say, and into your house, and when you don't have a familiarity, but you have a reverence for the things of God, and you begin to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he adds all things, he begins to bless you. Do you know that I know of no home that this is not true, what I'm about to tell you? Every single home that I know that has opened for a life group, everyone experiences blessing. Something happens. They get bonuses. They get raises. There is increase of God's favor, increase of God's presence, increase of God's power. Things get sorted out somehow. Homes that open to bring the ark in. People that enter into leadership. Are you hearing me? So the ark is at Obed-Edom's house, and while they're gone, you can go and study this out. They discover from Exodus 25 that the ark is supposed to be carried on the shoulders of men. The Old Testament is a picture book of New Testament reality. The glory of God is supposed to be carried by men. Not inside a temple anymore, but inside your heart and my heart, New Testament application. We're all supposed to be filled with God's power and presence so that when we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You speak with new tongues. Amen. There's power upon you. You can walk in a level of anointing that changes the world. So it's a picture of us getting involved in the process, but they carry this ark back to the city. The ark comes to the city of David, comes to Jerusalem. And as they're going there, it's this every six step, the seventh movement, six is a number of men. It's a picture of repenting. They repent. Think about, I mean, I figured it out, the math, but I don't have it for you right now. Think about where they were. You can go to a map. It's fun to do this. Go to a map, look at where Perez Uzzah is, and measure how many miles or kilometers. How far is it to Jerusalem? Now, if I remember correctly, but don't quote me, I think it's approximately 20 miles. So, I mean, just imagine. I mean, 20 miles is a lot of walking. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Stop, bring a bull, kill the bull, worship God. Sacrifice unto God. Oh, I love you, God. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the ark. Thank you for your presence. And they do what they do. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I can stay in the light. 7, they build the temple. They build an altar, if you will. And you just killed one right there. For 20 miles. Do you know what they're walking in? They're walking in a river of blood. That's what's happening here. So we just read through this, and yes, has anybody killed a bull? I'm about to. Has anybody ever killed a bull? Anybody ever killed a cow? Anybody ever killed a moose? It's a lot of blood. So every six steps and the seventh they would sacrifice, it's a picture of repenting. It's a picture of giving your best. It's a picture of partnering with God. The ark being carried on the shoulders of men. I mean, it had to take them a long time. How long is it going to take? 20 miles. Again, I don't remember if that's the exact figure, but it's a long time, and that's a lot of blood. I believe that God is going to bring us into a great place of outpouring. I believe that God is bringing the ark back to the city, and that's an Old Testament term for New Testament application where the presence of God is becoming a priority for people. Reverence is returning. People aren't going to get up and walk out when it's time to, people are giving their hearts to Jesus, or when the word is being read. It won't be time to mess around. It'll be time to like listen and open your heart. I believe that we're entering into a time where God is going to pour out his spirit in an unprecedented measure. The signs and wonders and miracles will come in an ever-increasing way if we will put our heart, if we'll position our heart, not like Uzzah, but like Obed-Edom. It's interesting, you study Minister Barry, soon to be made Pastor Barry, here at this next conference. Pastor Barry, Pastor Jan are leaders in Tucson. He preached quite a while ago about Obed-Edom, and others have as well. Go track the life of Obed-Edom. Because when the ark comes, when the ark is brought to his house, I'm sure he's terrified. Don't touch the ark. I think maybe he'd be sleeping and he would hear sounds. And he'd just wake up and be like, what is that? And go into his living room and see light and fire and power. Be like, oh God. And then he'd go back, he'd wake his wife up. Wake up, woman, wake up. Come on, guys, shh, come and look at me. Walk in, and they're both standing there. Light and flashes of light and rainbows and power. All of a sudden, they liked each other more. All of a sudden, it's like their aches and pains seem to leave. Watching that ark and his power. Somehow the kids didn't fight and argue as much either. And that stubborn field that hardly ever produced anything started producing more than he's ever had in his whole life. When it rained, it would only rain the right amount on his field and then he would have sunshine. But everywhere else, just seemed to be stormy and cloudy. Like the Motown singer. He had sunshine when it rained. His house was blessed. His crops were best. I think his dogs had multiple litters. I think the cats even probably had litters. I think that his oxen grew stronger and stronger. The lame donkey somehow got healed. You saw the blessing of God for 3 months comes down on Obed-Edom's house, showing where God's presence and power is. There's blessing, there's healing, there's favor. David hears about it, and I could just imagine David like, oh, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. Let's go, come on, let's go get the Levites. And they go and they put the ark on the box and they leave. Now, can you imagine? You know, when we travel, we go to some great churches, but there's no place like home. When we come home, every service that I come back, it's usually the 9 o'clock, I am weeping because, oh, God's presence is so strong, so real, so powerful. You know what happened to Obed-Edom? He quit his job. We don't know exactly what he did, but when the ark left, he said, love you, honey, kids, I'll be back when I can. I'm going. Where are you going? I'm going with the ark. And he goes with the ark. And he, go look at his name. It's everywhere. And there the doorkeeper, Obed-Edom. And there when the ark was, there's Obed-Edom. And the guy got hooked. He got touched by God so much that you can't keep me from his presence anymore. Oh, I've gotta go. I've got a new job. What is it? I'm gonna help. I'm gonna serve. I'm gonna do anything. Anything to be near to the presence of God. Oh, gotta go to the house of the Lord. Oh, gotta be near the ark. It's a picture of us entering in and repentance for the 6 and the 7 steps and sacrificing surely blood, picture of the blood of Jesus. But it's a picture of us contending that the presence of God would be the most important thing in your life. The fear of the Lord. We need God's power on everything we do. And if we do things without his power, we should stop doing it and fix it, whatever that is. You can go through the motions. Oh, when the ark comes back to the city. Oh, when the ark comes back to the city, I prophesy to you an increase of God's power and presence here as we respond to this message and live holy and rightly before God. An increase in God's power and presence to houses of worship that are being awakened. There's churches that were dead for years and they're going to come alive. I said they're gonna come alive. Across the state of Alaska, people are going to be quickened and realize that there's something more than a three-point cute sermon on leadership going home dead and depressed. There's something a whole lot more. People are going to stop wandering out of the way of understanding and resting in the congregation of the dead, and they're going to come back to what's really important, God, His word, His presence, His power, and they're going to be like an Obed-Edom, just be like, where can I serve? Let me do anything. Oh, let me do anything, God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.